Celtics lose a preseason game to the Raptors, but I don't care. They won the part that matters. Sam Hauser was the story of the game, but also Malcolm Brogdon, scary good, emphasis on scary. And if Jason Tatum plays like this, he'll be an MVP candidate, and I'm going to explain why right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Be ever ready. Recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked on number 18, Tatum and Brown, J-team. Step back, we gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course, the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird to DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Raining J's, how I started, raising banners, how we finished. Locked on Celtics, pod, home of the winners. B.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day, and I'm here for you every day, Monday through Friday, with a free, fresh podcast directly to your device. You can subscribe on YouTube, ring the bell, comment, all that good stuff on YouTube. I want to thank you for making this show part of your daily routine and your first listen every day. I'm John Corrales. I'm a former professional basketball player. I am now a credentialed beat writer covering the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. And I've written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. Today, it's all about the Celtics. Well, we'll call it the loss to the Toronto Raptors, but really, to me, it's a win over the Toronto Raptors because they were up 19 when everybody came out. So up 19 through three quarters, most of three quarters, is good enough for me to think they had this game well in hand. Yeah, I know. If it's a regular season game, who knows how it goes and blah, blah, blah. They won the parts that they were supposed to win. I don't care that the end of the bench came in and pissed it away. Sorry, Justin Jackson and Broderick Thomas. I'm scapegoating you guys as the main culprits over the last 12-05, 0-10 combined. Lots of open shots there. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Later on, we'll talk about Jason Tatum, who I think made a tweak to his game that could turn him into a legit MVP candidate. I think that's a great adjustment for him, and I think it's going to be something that changes the entire game for him. Also, second segment, Malcolm Brogdon. Again, I said scary good. And that there's an emphasis on scary because all of a sudden he's so important that I'm getting a little bit of anxiety about how important he's going to be. But let's start with the big story. The big story of this game is Sam Hauser, who came out of it with a 22-point performance, 5 of 8 from three, 4 rebounds, a couple of assists. Sam Hauser, after the game, podium game for Sam Hauser. Preseason podium games are the best. He was exactly what you want a floor spacer to be. He was exactly what you want a guy in that role to be. That's 2 games in a row now. 5 of 8 from three in this game, 4 of 5 in the last game. 9 3-pointers. 7 of those were assisted by, no, I shouldn't say all of those 3-pointers. 9 3-pointers. He's Malcolm Brogdon has found him 7 times. Malcolm Brogdon had 18 assists over the 2 games, 9 and 9. 7 of those assists have gone to Sam Hauser. I shouldn't say they were all 3-pointers because there are a couple of 2s in there. But basically, both former Virginia Cavaliers, they didn't play together, obviously, but both Virginia guys, you know Malcolm's going to find his guy. It's been 2 straight games now where the second quarter has been the pull-away quarter. And Hauser and Grant Williams, I got to give Grant Williams plenty of credit for this as well because he's been huge in these games. He had a moment, by the way, side note, Grant Williams had a moment where he made the crowd go, ooh. One of those, like, as the moves happens, you hear the crowd go, ooh. He didn't even do anything yet. He didn't shoot yet. But he came down the right side, and I forget who was defending. Hit him with the hesitation move. Hit him with the hezzy. And he bit, and Grant just said, boop, bye you. And that that's the second straight game where we've seen Grant make that kind of move. Quick type of using the threat of himself as a three-point shooter to get guys to come up and then shoot right by him. Great. Great. But Sam Hauser, part of that unit, that the Brogdon, Hauser, Grant Williams trio coming in the second quarters has been phenomenal. Imagine in regular season rotations, you throw Jaylen Brown into that mix with a big. Eventually, that big might even be Robert Williams. You sub Robert Williams out midway through the first. You bring him back at the start of the second. Now you got Brogdon with a role threat, Jaylen with a role threat, and two floor spacers. Ooh, baby. Those second quarters have the potential to be monster quarters for the Celtics throughout the course of the season. Hauser has shown himself to be very worthy of most, if not all, of Danilo Gallinari's minutes. Still, we do have to throw out the obvious caveat that it's preseason and blah, 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 blah. But catch and shoot is catch and shoot. Catch and shoot against hard closeouts is still catch and shoot against hard closeouts. Against better defensive teams, maybe he doesn't get quite as open. Maybe the closeouts lead to running him off the line. But hey, he got run off the line a couple of times late in the game, and he got himself to the rim. He got himself an and one. So a shout out Joe Mazzulla for winning a challenge in this game. Right? You know, that's not nothing. Winning a challenge, that's big. Big news. It's pretty cool that he won his first challenge. But Hauser can put the ball on the floor and at least take a dribble or two and then move the ball if he needs to. So, but the spot ups, the just deadly, deadly shooting that he's displayed. He's shooting 69% on the preseason, which is nice. But obviously, that's going to drop. But if he's going to get the types of looks that he's getting, and if he's going to shoot like this with the confidence that he's shooting with, all of a sudden, things change significantly for the Celtics. Because everybody was worried about, well, they lost Gallinari. Here's a guy who could be a 40% three-point shooter, not much of a defender, but he's got size. Well, now Sam Hauser's here. He's 6'7". He's not exactly Gallinari's size, but he's 6'7". He has size. He's also much, much younger. He's in his mid-20s. And that allows him to move better than Gallinari. So maybe he can hold his own a little bit more than Gallinari on defense. So you have in this guy, who, by the way, was undrafted and a two-way player last year, all of a sudden there's this possibility of this guy could be the real deal. This guy could be their three-point specialist. He could be the guy that comes in, and whoever you want to take out early, you bring in Hauser, and now he's a threat. I said this after the first game. I'll say it again now. Hauser is announcing this to the league. He's putting it out there to the league. You have to respect my jumper. If you don't, this is what's going to happen. If you don't give me the respect that a three-point threat needs, then I'm going to drop 5 of 8 on you. That's the announcement to the league. So the competition, Philadelphia, opening night, you go through the scout, and I'm pretty sure that the Philly scouts will say, got to watch this guy. Can't leave him open. He'll drill it. Just all it takes, I've said this a bunch of times on the podcast, all it takes is that extra inch of space. The difference between a guy swiping at the ball and missing or swiping at the ball and fouling when Tatum or Brown or Smart or Brogdon drive, the difference between having it be a positive result and a negative result can be the space that defender has to be closer to Sam Hauser. So I'm excited. I'm excited that Hauser is becoming that guy. Jason Tatum joked that Hauser needs to send me a thank you card for being out there on the floor with me, which to me, no greater sign of respect than Tatum busting your balls. So I think that role that he is in now, hold your own defensively, put the ball on the floor if the closeout's there, move the ball, and get back into your space, get back behind the three-point line. Then that, and then just hit the open shots. I said the league is on notice, but also the league understands, well, you still have Tatum and Brown and other guys that we have to worry about. So you might have no choice but to give Hauser that little extra space. He gets the shot off and he hits it. Malcolm Brogdon, again, one of the guys that finds Sam Hauser more than anybody. Those second units, like I said, can be deadly. The most important lineup that the Celtics have, obviously outside of their starting lineups and their finishing lineups, the start of the second quarter lineups could be just supremely important. But that scares me. I'm going to talk about that next. I'm not scared at betonline.net, which is your number one source for all of your betting needs this season. Football right in the thick of things, and obviously people love to lay some money down on football. So go to betonline.net and find all your latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, in-depth articles, and analysis on every single game you can find. That's pro, college, whatever. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all of your sports wagering information with live betting. Live betting in games is a very popular thing. Up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. That includes Major League Baseball, which is now going into the playoffs. MMA, boxing, golf, everything. Hockey, it's there at the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events. So head on over to betonline.net. You can use your mobile device to do so. BetOnline is where the game starts. Please gamble responsibly. Thanks for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. Make sure you check out the Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview starting October 10th, days away. It's a six-episode extravaganza to get you ready for the NBA season. Local team experts like me are on this show, and the NBA insiders of the Locked On Podcast Network and Odyssey, all combining into one ultimate NBA preview starting October 10th. Search for the Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. The Celtics got a great performance from Jaylen Brown. Again, first quarter Jaylen Brown's a thing, but a nice performance from him. 23 points, 9 of 14 shooting, 3 of 6 from 3, 2 of 5 from the line. He was very upset. He bricked three straight free throws after a landing spot foul. 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, no turnovers. After turnovers were a major issue for the Celtics in game one, only 10 turnovers in this game. Huge turnaround, but still 31 assists. The Celtics in two games have 72 assists, which if this were the regular season, it'd have to be some sort of record. I just popped into my head that might be that it's a lot, and it might be more than, I don't know what I'll have to look up the record for two game stretch of assists for the Celtics. But either way, a ton of assists, 31 assists on 44 made baskets. Ball is popping, and it's really, a lot of it had to do with Malcolm Brogdon, who didn't shoot well, but man, I thought he played great. The Celtics came out early on, and I wrote this in my preview on Boston Sports Journal. I was afraid that they would come down and settle for three-pointers, which they were doing early on, and they weren't hitting them. They came down and one pass three-pointer. And I know Toronto is a big, long, switchy, annoying team that really loves to help well and does so well. So there's a tendency against those teams to say, hey, this is the open shot that we get. We're going to work for 24 seconds to get another shot. that's this wide open, I'm just going to take this one that's wide open. It's the same thing as swinging on a first pitch when you say, hey, you got to work the count. You got to make the pitcher work. And the batter will say, yeah, but I also want to hit the ball. And that fastball was right down the middle, and I want to swing at it. Same idea here. And I'm always a proponent of work the ball. The three-pointers are there. You can get three-pointers most of the time, and they're generally going to be okay the way the Celtics can move the ball. Anyway, Malcolm Brogdon comes in the second quarter, and all of a sudden, things change. Let me just quickly, the first quarter assists for the Celtics, 5 assists on 11 baskets. Okay, 5. But then they had 26 the rest of the way. So the rate of assists went up significantly. In fact, in the second quarter, 10 assists in the second quarter, and 5 of them were from Malcolm Brogdon in the second quarter. So that's my point right there. 3 came from Marcus Smart, but the ball suddenly assists doubled in the second quarter. And it's Brogdon who comes in along with Hauser. He found Hauser very nicely. Grant Williams, he likes to find Grant Williams. He has a few assists to Grant Williams in this preseason. Brogdon is becoming one of those guys. Every year we come up with a guy who's like, well, obviously Jason Tatum is the most important player of this team and Jaylen Brown, but this guy is really sneakily the most important player on this team. And that's becoming Malcolm Brogdon. Like last year it was Robert Williams. And the concept behind that is, well, we know what Jason Tatum is. He's a potential MVP candidate. We know what Jaylen Brown is. He's a potential all-star. Like, we know that those guys are important. They're obviously important. But those are almost kind of take it for granted type of guys. You know what you're going to get with those guys. So then a guy like Brogdon comes in who obviously has a pedigree, right? He's very recently been the top scorer for an NBA team. And you're not nothing when you're an NBA team's number one option. But he now comes in, and that second quarter starting lineup is something that I'm like starting to really salivate over. But I also know Malcolm Brogdon's injury history, and I'm just like, oh no. We knew that Brogdon would be important, but all of a sudden there's this feeling of like, he might be way more important than we thought. And when somebody is that important, suddenly the injury history becomes just a little bit more anxiety inducing. It's a little scarier. And you say, oh boy, oh boy. This guy's history suddenly makes me not feel so great. And you just got to hope. And this is where I remind you that jinxes aren't real. Just because I said something doesn't mean that something's going to happen. If it happens, it was going to happen, whether I said something or not. That's not, jinxes are not real. I just put that out there. They do not exist. Whether you believe it or not, it's true. They do not exist. No such thing. Brogdon's injury history is scary to me. In a roundabout way, this is a compliment to say that I'm now scared by how important Brogdon is. It's the same way that there's a fear of, oh God, I hope Rob can stay on the floor, right? It's the same idea. If they stay healthy, you work Robert Williams into this mix. Oh boy, this team can be good. Malcolm Brogdon in 2 preseason games has already shown this guy's really, really good. Oh my God, this guy changes everything, because you don't have in this game here, Jaylen and Jason come out and kind of take the first shot that's available to you. Brogdon comes in and just recognizes, you know what? We need to move the ball more. We can't just pass and shoot. We got to move the ball. And so he drives and attacks, and he's doing it against second units. So the level of defenders that are out there may not be as high as those first units, those starting units. You're going bench versus bench, and all of a sudden, Brogdon's driving against some guys that he can turn the corner on a little bit more easily. That collapses the defense. Now the ball sprays. Now you get that little, you know, drive, collapse, kick out to the corner, swing, swing, swing. Other corner is becoming wide open, and you got very clear looks. And all it takes is, after that first quarter, all it takes is one guy to get hot. That first quarter, Celtics shot 3 of 13 from three. Now, they shot overall 16 of 52. So what's that? 39? 13 of 39 the rest of the way? Is that the math right? Did I actually do that in my head? They go from, what did I say in the first quarter? They went from 3 of 13 in the first quarter to 4 of 7 in the second quarter. So they take 6 fewer shots, 13 shots. They took 6 fewer shots, and they got an extra 3 points out of it. So the quality of the shot was better. And you get Hauser coming in here hitting a couple, and Derek White hits one, Jalen hits one. You start to feel that cascading, okay, we're feeling it here. Then in the third quarter, it's 6 of 13. So guys start hitting shots. And of course, it's Hauser and Grant Williams that come in again. Tatum couldn't hit a damn thing, which he said, you know, this is what I do. I come out slow. But Brogdon is the catalyst of this. Brogdon is the guy. So let's hope he stays healthy. Now, Tatum couldn't hit a damn thing, but man, did I feel like he controlled a large portion of this game. The tweak that he made that I think is going to potentially, if he continues to do it, turn him into an MVP candidate. That's next. Do you play fantasy basketball? Of course you do. Everybody plays fantasy basketball. And if you are one of everybody, that means that you should make your second listen after Locked On Celtics, Locked On Fantasy Basketball with Josh Lloyd. It's a monster of a show. The number one fantasy basketball show on the planet. By far, it's because Josh is just, he's crunching every number. This dude just knows what he's talking about. If you want to win your league, got to listen to Josh. Check out Locked On Fantasy Basketball wherever you found this podcast. Jason Tatum scored 18 points, 6 of 16 shooting, but 0 of 7 from 3. So really 6 of 9 from 2, which is really good. And 6 of 7 from the line, also really good. 10 rebounds, 4 assists. In 29 minutes, nice game. Nice game from him. So what's all this MVP talk, John, is what you're saying to yourself in the car or in the shower or on your walk. If you're still in the shower, I mean, I'm 25 minutes into this podcast. So if you're still taking the shower, then I guess congratulations for being thorough. So Jason Tatum was attacking the rim, attacking it in a way that we haven't seen a whole lot of, not on a consistent basis, and certainly not this early in the season. Yeah, he might start slow. He might not hit from three, but this type of drive was very eye-opening to me. Two reasons for this. Number one, very north-south, very I'm at this point, point A, point B is the rim, and I'm taking the most direct way possible to get to the rim. And we know what Tatum loves to do or has loved to do. The rim is here, right in front of you, and he takes like at an angle, 30 degrees angled away from the rim, and he tries to use his long arms and his double joints to kind of like flick it in there and avoid the contact. And he thinks he's trying to draw the foul, but he's not. So number one thing that I saw, very north-south, okay? If you want to compare it to football, it's the guy who gets the handoff, the running back who gets the handoff, just bust through the hole at the line and just goes boom, north, south, versus the guy who runs out wide and dances and dances and dances. And, you know, every once in a while he breaks one, but you got to be Barry Sanders if you're going to be pulling that off. And Tatum is not Barry Sanders when he tries to dance around like that. So the north-south stuff was great. You saw him use his body. I'm a huge fan of a guy like Tatum. You see guys, those big, broad shoulders. You're driving. A guy's kind of riding you. You just use that body. Don't lower the shoulder. You just use that body a little. Just give it a little. Use the guy's momentum again. He's sliding. And you just give him a little nudge. Clear some space. That little nudge when he's moving gets, it just adds an extra foot to where the guy is going. And you clear some space that way. We saw him, we did see him dance a little bit underneath the rim. The reverse pivot was certainly very nice. But the big thing, getting right to the rim. And not only that, the other thing that Tatum has done a ton of is try to be like James Harden, where when you spin and drive, you bring your arms way down and then you bring them up. And the concept there is I bring my arms down, you bring them up, everybody's reaching, they're going to foul, slap, 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 slap. And as you come up, you doesn't matter if you make the shot or not, you're just going to get the foul, you're going to get to the line, you're going to go to the line 15 times, you're going to score 12 points, and you're going to average in the high 20s because half your points are coming from the line. That has never worked for him. Tatum, whether it's small hands, weaker grip, whatever it is, that has never worked. And we saw it in the finals. We saw it. It's just hand slapping at the ball. And if the hand gets the ball first and the follow through gets your arm, you might sit there and scream, I got fouled. But the hand hit the ball first. And so, no, it's not a foul. The ball's loose. The follow through hasn't impacted your ability to score. So it's not a foul. And then come the complaints and all of that stuff. In this game, Tatum, and if you're watching on YouTube, I'm going to demonstrate a little bit, but I'll talk you through it on the audio podcast. You dribble. I love doing this move. You dribble and you just bring it up around. Like, it's almost like you're doing a big half circle in front of your face. And you see guys bring it around. And sometimes if a guy's peeping, he gets his head in there a little bit, that ball comes around. And that ball catches a guy in the face. I'll tell you what, they might call an offensive foul on that, but he might not be peeping that close next time because that ball is going to come through and people like to keep their noses intact. Tatum, and I highlighted this on Boston Sports Journal. I showed a clip because it was really demonstrative and one particular one where he drew a foul. Keep the ball high, bring it around. This also creates your shoulder separate, like you can get your shoulders around. So when you normally step through, this is a very Paul Pierce move. Bring it around, your shoulder comes through, and then as you square back up again, you've naturally kind of keep the defender off of you, and he ends up behind you in a lot of ways. That move prevents all of the slapping and the ball getting knocked loose. And the irony is, the hunting for the foul thing didn't work, but keeping the ball high and avoiding it drew the fouls because you don't put the ball in a place where they can get you. The ball's in a place where it's protected and they have to slap you first. So rather than hitting the ball first and then hitting the body, they're hitting the body first and then maybe the ball, but that gets the calls. Jason Tatum will be an MVP candidate if he continues to drive like this in every game. If he cuts out that angle glide by crap and attacks north-south the way he did and keeps the ball high and attacks the front of the rim with some power, he will be an MVP candidate. No doubt in my mind, because not only is he going to get those finishes at the rim, where he doesn't get the call, that's just going to be more likely to finish a couple. He'll get many more calls that way. And that will set him up for half his points coming from the rim or the free throw line. So he's averaging in the mid-20s. If you can add 6 of 7 from the free throw line, 7 of 9, 8 of 11, those types of nights, that piles up. You get a couple of easy finishes. You get a couple of and ones. Next thing you know, your free throws plus the finishes at the rim get you to 14, 16, 18 points. Now you hit 3 three-pointers, 4 three-pointers. You're at 24, 27. You pop off for every once in a while. Your 40-point game, your 50-point game, your averages start to fly right up. MVP candidates average close to 30 points a game, generally speaking, especially wings like Tatum. He had the 10 rebounds. He's going to rebound. He made a point of saying that, and he did average 8.5 last year. The assists, if they're up there around 5, 6, which he can easily get to, now you're talking about a guy on a good team, a contending team that's averaging 27, 28, 29 points with 8, 9, 10 rebounds and 5, 6 assists. Sounds like MVP numbers to me. And there are going to be a lot of MVP caliber guys, but this type of driving, this type of attack, this focus, forget the hunting of the fouls. Just do this. Be the giant, broad-shouldered tank that you are. Get to the rim at will and earn your free throws. You will be an MVP candidate. I loved, obviously, what I saw against the Raptors from Jason Tatum. Those are long guys. Those are big monster defenders. And he just sliced through that defense. It's impressive. One game that I saw him do that. It's one game. Keep doing that. My God, keep doing that. I'm begging you, Jason Tatum, keep doing that. I want you to keep listening. I'm begging you to keep listening. So if you're still here and enjoying the show, then please subscribe if you haven't. If you want to watch the show on YouTube, you can watch the show on YouTube. It's there. I enjoy doing the show on YouTube. I enjoy talking to the camera. I enjoy demonstrating things. You know, it's just I can talk you through it on the audio, and hopefully you get the picture. But, man, I'm Greek. I talk with my hands. I'm very demonstrative, and so I like to demonstrate those things. Ring the bell. You know there's that bell on YouTube. Hit that. This way, whenever I drop the show, it's there. YouTube hits before the audio on most days. Post-game like this, it's later. It's 2:30 in the morning as I wrap this up, so it's a late drop anyway. But in general, non-game nights, show drops on YouTube before it hits the audio, so you get a little advanced podcast. I do thank you for making the show your first listen every day and part of your daily routine. I'd love it if you share the podcast with your friends and family and everybody and tell them they need to be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.